Thanks for joining us for today's message. But don't stop there. Download our app today and stay connected throughout the week. And we would love to hear how God's using this ministry to impact your life. So let us know by sending a message to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
I've entitled today's message, God Can Change the Way You See. You, anybody believe that God can change the way you see things in the world around you? He really can, and he does this through honor. And honor is an incredible thing that will shift this. Let's look at some scripture this morning. There's a Bible verse here in Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 40 and 42 out of the New King James. We're going to read a lot of scripture today. I'm going to ask you to take some notes if you don't mind. We looked at this last week. This is Jesus speaking. And he says this, he who receives you, he's talking to us as his followers, he's talking specifically to his disciples in that day and time, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. So Jesus gives us this really powerful principle that I would summarize in this way. When we honor people whom we can see, we also honor God whom we cannot see. And this is really, really vitally important, because how you treat people, God takes personally. And we saw this last weekend, and you can get the message or re-listen to it or listen to it for the very first time if you would like to, that people who encountered Jesus, they encountered varying levels of the reward that he had to offer them based on how they honored him or dishonored him. Honor is simply this, it's to show value in something or someone. To dishonor isn't really what we think it is. Oftentimes we think the word dishonor means we have to be rude or terribly disrespectful or some kind of mean, nasty, ogre approach to people, and that's dishonor. No, the Bible tells us this, that dishonor is to treat people and to treat God's people and God's things as common and as ordinary. So when you treat something as common and ordinary, God says, you've dishonored that. When you treat your spouse as common, when you speak to them the way you would just speak to any person off the street that you don't even know, when you treat them that way, God calls that dishonor. It isn't when you yell at them. It isn't when you call them names, although that is dishonor too. That isn't the dividing line between honor and dishonor. The dividing line is what we value. And when we value something, we ought to treat it really well, shouldn't we? We do this with cars. We do this with stuff, but we fail to do it with people. So the honor principle, this summarizes, I could have preached last weekend's message in 7 minutes, I guess, because this is the summary. When we honor people whom we can see, we honor God whom we cannot see. That's the principle. So as we go forward, Jesus outlines some more things in Matthew 10. This is really going to be helpful. He who receives a prophet, going on to verse 41 through 42, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Remember I just said there are varying levels of reward that we experience in God based on our level of honor. The good news is we determine the level of reward that we receive from God in this life. That's really great news. So he's going to outline three types of people that I want you to see. So the first one is prophet. I'm going to give you language for that that's more common to us. The second, and he goes on to say, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones, this is category three, only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So Jesus outlines these three kind of levels of relationship that all of us have in life. The prophet, I'm going to call a leader. He's certainly talking about in the church, but I'm going to broaden that scope and say that this is Jesus talking to us about leadership in general. How many know the leadership principles that work in church will also work in your home? They'll also work in politics. Right. They'll also work in your business. God doesn't just create it so that these principles only work in one isolated context or setting. They're much larger than that. And so we're gonna span out. And so this is what we're going to focus on today is the leader, how we honor leaders. And God can change the way you see this. The second level, he talks about a righteous man, which I would say is our peers, our colleagues, our friends, the people we interact with, our co-workers. And then the last category is the little ones. And I would say these are the most vulnerable in society. These are individuals who have been entrusted to our care. Your kids, your maybe people who work for you, people who are maybe coming up in the faith that God has put on your heart to kind of interact with and move along in their journey of faith. And so, but I want you to see that today we're going to focus on this category of leader. And I just want to pause and say this. This is really messed up in our world. There is, we often hear times people will say, the family is under attack. Anybody ever heard that before?
Right.
And oftentimes we would agree with that. The family is under attack. Here's what I want you to see. We, as Americans, I can't speak beyond that because this is my only context of where I live. I know it. I know America best. And here's what I want to say to you. There may be a crisis in a whole lot of areas, but I want to say to you that as being a student of God's principles of leadership for nearing 25 years now, we in these United States are in a leadership crisis. We have a crisis of leadership, and what we're going to look at today is God's solution and resolution for this crisis and this dilemma. In Romans chapter 13, now, I want you to turn to your neighbor. First, everybody look at me for just a second. Everybody, give me a big smile for just once, at least once so far, okay? This is your one shot. Okay, okay, good. Most of you did it. Awesome. Now, look at your neighbor and smile at them, someone beside you, and say, it's time to buckle up. Okay, okay. And I also want you to understand this. These verses that I'm about to read, I did not write. Okay? These are not my ideas. These are God's ideas. And my assignment this morning is to represent his highest and best thoughts to you about this important subject. Paul's going to be very clear in writing to the Romans. And let me tell you something. He's not writing about or in a context of a friendly governmental structure of authority. You need to know that. He's not writing to a democratic republic. He's not writing to a democracy. He's not writing to United States of America. He's writing when most of the world is under dictatorial control, power, force. That's who he's writing to. Some of you would interpret the United States as that, and I would say you become jaded and cynical. This is still an incredible country with tremendous freedoms afforded to us, okay? So, like, let's not get cynical about that. But I want you to be clear on who he's writing to. Really, really uncivil forms of governmental authority, okay? And beyond that. And here's what he says. Let everyone... say, that's me. That everyone includes you. It's me. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. Watch this. For there is no authority, no one gets in charge except that which God has established. Watch this. There's no authority, no structure that's put in place unless God let it be there. He goes on and he says this. The authorities or the individuals... and that structure that exists has been established by God. What you need to understand right from the beginning is governmental authority. And I'm going to define what that is. I'm going to define those four levels. It's not just one level. Four levels. This is God's idea for your good. For my good. For my benefit. Watch what he says. Consequently... whoever rebels against the authority, these governmental authorities that we're going to define for you, is rebelling against what God has instituted. God put it there. You got to get that into your heart and mind. And watch this. And those who do so, watch this, those who rebel will bring judgment on themselves. This is very plain. This is very clear, but I want to break this down because I can anticipate a few objections. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. All authority is from God. The idea of authority is from God. But not all authority is godly. It's a big distinction. You need this because if we go on in the conversation, you're going to get all messed up in what I'm saying. All right? So all authority is from God, but not all authority is godly. The next thing is this. Obeying authority has an exception. And that exception is if they ask you to do something sinful. If they ask you to commit sin, that is a boundary line. We do not obey man when they tell us to sin. So if a law in the United States is established that you and God, more importantly, deems as sin, as Christ followers, God's hierarchy of authority reigns supreme, and no man is authorized to call us to sin.
Right.
Just remember Daniel. Remember the book of Daniel with King Nebuchadnezzar? He says, bow down and worship me. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, nah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to sin. They were honorable in their defiance. They were honorable in their disobedience. This is vastly important because people get all mixed up and they infuse bad experiences and past experiences and challenging things into this equation. I would also submit to you that a part of the sin process is manipulation. If people are trying to manipulate you to do what they want for their purposes, I would say that has to be watched because that is very unhealthy. The difference between manipulation and motivation is this to me. Manipulation is me trying to get you to do something that will benefit me.
Right.
Manipulation is me trying to get you to do something that will benefit me personally. Motivation is me trying to persuade you to do something that will benefit you. That's a big distinction.
Yeah.
It's a very big distinction that you have to watch out for in leadership and in these things. I'm going to get stuck there if I don't keep moving. I want you to see this point. This is what the scripture just said. Self-inflicted judgment is the result when we deliberately disobey the governing authority God has established. When we experience judgment on our life, because we've disobeyed the authority that God has put on us, around us, and there to serve us, that is completely and totally within our control. I want to give you an example. Let me give you these four governing authorities because I think you might be interested. Who are these governing authorities? There's four realms that God talks about. Today we're going to talk about three of them. There's the political authority, the social authority, the church authority, and the authority in the family. We're going to do all next week is going to be all about family authority, okay? And family honor. But there's political, which would be, of course, governmental leaders, first responders, your police force, your fire department. Social would be like your teachers, bosses, coaches. Church is pretty clear, and family's pretty clear. This self-inflicted judgment, these governing authorities, these are established by God. So let's talk about law enforcement. I happen to scan out, and I know we have law enforcement here today. And law enforcement is there, right on the side of the vehicle, is to most vehicles, to protect and to serve. And there are speed limits. How many of you are aware there are speed limits out there? Now, I have a car that has a tendency, if I allow it to go really, really, really fast. And I like going real fast. I haven't been pulled over in my newest car yet, and I'm going to try to keep it that way as long as possible. But let's say I'm breaking the law. I know the boundary is X miles per hour, and I break that. Listen, there has been a civil or political governing authority set up as a boundary in my life to keep me safe. And if I violate that, and then a police officer pulls me over, it isn't the police officer suppressing me. It isn't the police officer attacking me. It isn't the police officer like doing all of these bad things to try to control me. This was, and this is the hard news for many of us, this was a self-inflicted judgment that I imposed on myself because I disobeyed the God-centered authority that was put over my life to keep me safe.
Amen. That's
okay?
Good.
They're not persecuting me. I broke the law. And God says, I've put these things there in these four categories to help you, to strengthen you. And our response is honor in those situations, is to show value to those individuals. Probably no one has done this. Very few of us have done this. I probably have never done this with a sincere heart. But if I were to be pulled over, which I have been, like I said, for going too fast, really, the God, some of you are going to really say, Josh, you've taken this too far when you say this. But the biblical godly response is appreciation for what they have done. Because they have kept me safe from myself. Because when they pulled me over when I was going 75, what they maybe did or maybe what they didn't know, but what I knew was I was on my way to 120 around a sharp bend that I didn't know was coming. And they were there, they were put there as a restraining force in my life, right? Listen, I'm going to go back to that thing because I know some of you might be thinking about some things you've seen in the news, and I chose that example on purpose to make you think. All authority is from God, but not all authority is godly. Got to keep that straight. But listen, it is the responsibility of authority to be godly. It is not my responsibility to judge whether or not they are godly. Right? It's their job to follow God, and it's my job to follow God. Let me just ask a question. How many of y'all think that as a pastor of a church, I ought to have reverence and honor, and I ought to walk as holy as I possibly can? Anyone believe that about my life? Oh, nobody? Wow, this could get really nuts real quick, okay? Let me ask again. It wasn't a trick question. How many of you think that the pastor of the church ought to honor God, ought to honor God's word, and ought to walk as holy as possible?
Yes.
Yeah, I should, right? Yeah. And whose job is that to manage? Mine. Watch. When I don't lead well, it has repercussions. Because when I lead poorly, you don't follow. I'll tell you the truth. When I lead really, really well, some of y'all don't follow. So, I mean, there's that too. Because it's human nature to want to resist. We haven't got all of the Garden of Eden's fall out of us yet. There still is a level of that can rise up in any of us at any given moment. These are the four governing authorities. Let me move on because I'm quickly running out of time. 1 Peter 2. Let me look at the political or the civil for just a moment. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. 1 Peter 2:17 in the New King James. I've highlighted honor the king because this is the political civil approach that Peter is taking. Now, the challenge for many of you is this. You've grown up your entire life in the United States of America, and you think God is a God of democracy, or he's a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian or whatever other affiliation there may or may not be, right? You interpret the scripture through the governmental context in which you live. I'm not going into whether or not that's right or wrong. I'm saying be aware that that exists. And as soon as you see honor the king, you're like, well, we don't live in a kingdom. No, but God operates his principles through a kingdom. Over and over and over again, Jesus refers to the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like that. But he's talking about those political, civil authorities that are over us. That's what Peter's talking about. And I'm going to give you some suggestions on how to honor this group of governmental authority. But I want you to get this in your mind, that you and I, some of us have to work harder at this than others. For many of us, this is seasonal. I'm not going to get into politics in terms of who you should and shouldn't vote for, and people get upset about me for not taking a stand on whether you should vote this way or vote that way. May I just tell you this, that my assignment as a spiritual leader, my assignment as a pastor is to get you close to Jesus, not to a political party. That's up to you. You sort that out between you and God. My assignment is to lead you to Jesus, not to a certain affiliation. Okay. See, I know I polarize people when I say that, and it boggles my mind, but I know I do it when I do it, okay? So I'm not completely clueless. Make a distinction between the person and the position. In governmental authority, make a distinction between the person and the position, because the authority is from God even when the behavior isn't. We have to make that distinction. Man, I want to say something about that, but I'm going to move on. Let me help you with two ways to put this into practice, because if not, we'll be here all day. When it comes to political leaders, here's a step of honor. Speak well of them rather than criticizing and ridiculing them. Amen. Replace your complaints about them with prayers for them, whether you voted for them or not. The Bible doesn't say, pray for those in authority over you that you agree with. The Bible doesn't tell me to pray for the people that I completely align with politically. You think this is crazy? Wait until this fall when I do the message series, Election Infection. It's going to be awesome. Because this is going to get worse and not before it gets better. But here's the solution. You can change the way you see, and I'm telling you how to change. I'm telling you the Bible way how to change the way you see honor. You start speaking well of them rather than criticizing and ridiculing them. Someone says, I cannot find anything to say positive about this particular political leader. Good, then revert to step two. I wonder what would happen if every Christ follower in the United States of America, before complaining about a president or a vice president or a senator or a congressman or a state representative or a mayor or a governor or any political person, any political individual, what would happen if before we complained about them, we hit the pause button and we just said a prayer for them? Not the prayer of, hey, God, kill them. No, I'm not talking about that. What about the prayer that says, Lord, they're really struggling. Bring them wisdom. Surround them with people. No matter what's going on, the Bible is the source of my confidence. And the Old Testament writer says this, that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. No matter who the ruler is, no matter who the leader is, no matter what governmental structure it is, God can change that thing with just a shift. How many of you are old enough to remember when the Berlin Wall fell?
Yeah.
I believe that that was the result of godly people praying and God shifting the heart of some individuals to cause some things to change. I don't want to get into my opinion about these things, but I would say that these are scriptural ways that you can show honor to political. And I specifically chose your mouth and your words because we got a whole lot of mouth in our political conversation right now. Thank you for the one lonely compliment, amen, in the back. I appreciate it. It warms my soul like hot honey in my tea. I know this is heavy. I told you to buckle up. Like, do this. Do this. Okay. If you get it, say, I get it.
I get it.
Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to move to the second one. We're going to move to the social. Bosses, coaches, teachers, things like that. And I'm going to substitute, let as many bondservants, I'm going to say employees, students, ball players, people who interact with those who have another level of authority over them, as many of you as are under the yoke, count their master, count the boss, count the teacher, count the coach worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. God is saying this in my own words. As believers, our public witness is greatly impacted by how we honor social leaders. Our interaction with the world around us is greatly impacted by how we honor those in those realms. And I want to give you some ways to honor them. Social leaders, honoring them. And when you go to work tomorrow, how many of you have a job? Okay, if you don't, come talk to me right after this service and I will help you, okay? Lots of things to do around here. When you're talking about those individuals, I think your action step to honor is to work for them as if you're working for Jesus himself. And second, I would say, respond honorably when you feel mistreated, when you didn't get the raise, when they talked bad about you in the break room, when you walked around the corner and heard them gossiping about your family and your situation, when that leader didn't give you what you thought you were due, when the coach didn't give you the right amount of playing time, when the whatever happens that makes you feel mistreated, even I'll grant to you that you were treated poorly. You being treated poorly is not an excuse to lower yourself to a place of dishonor.
Right.
Two wrongs don't make a right. Right? So when you've been mistreated or you feel mistreated, how many of you know sometimes you are mistreated and sometimes you feel mistreated and they aren't necessarily the same things? Sometimes it's here that thing that you thought happened never really happened. Sometimes it's genuine. Sometimes it really was. Either way, the biblical response is to respond honorably. Watch this verse of scripture. I love this verse in Colossians 3:23. Work willingly. That's important. Work willingly at whatever you do. Let me just pause. If you hate your job, go find a new one. Quit burdening everyone around you with your discomfort and your criticism and your complaints. Go find another one. There's no law that says you have to work at that particular place. If you can't go there with a good attitude, do yourself, do the boss, do the leader, do everyone around you a massive favor, put in your notice and go find another job that you can be happy and content in.
Right.
Like, just go do that. Oh, Josh, you don't understand. I need the money. Good, fine. Then here's what you've said. You've said, I'm trading the money for my joy.
Yeah.
Just know that that's the exchange you've made.
Right. It's true.
And as pastorally as I can, keep your mouth shut. I mean, like, seriously. Like, I've had jobs that I hated. You know what I did? I quit.
Yeah.
Well, Josh, how did you know you would be able to meet all your needs? Because God promised me that my God shall supply all of my need. He made me that promise.
Amen.
So my faith is, I don't have to be miserable. I'm going to go do something I want to do. Now, I get it. For a period of time, you may not like what you're doing, but your attitude may be right. Cool. I had that experience. I worked at GE on machine number 4 on the back shift, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. I hated that friggin' machine. I hated it, but it got me close to God, because I was alone, everybody left me alone, and I was like, this is just temporary, this isn't the rest of my life. You know, how many of you remember the story of when the princess kisses the frog, and the frog turns into a prince? I mean, you remember that story, the frog and the princess? That's the way I looked at the job. The job was the frog. I just had to kiss it for a minute, and eventually it would turn into something better. And that might be where you are. You might just be in that holding station. But listen, don't let a job disrupt your attitude.
Right. Right.
Your attitude is yours.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not telling you this for your boss's good. Although it'll help with that. It'll help with that relationship tremendously. I'm telling you this for you.
Amen.
This is for you. This isn't for them. This is what God says will make us go forward well. Working willingly at whatever you do. Machine number four. Real estate. Law enforcement. Student. Whatever you do. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Want to up your honor game? You step into something tomorrow. When you go to work, before you go, say, God, I'm giving this. Watch this. I'm giving my time tomorrow at XYZ Company as an offering to you. I'm going to present myself a living sacrifice. You know what's tricky about a living sacrifice? It always wants to crawl off the altar. Think about it.
Yeah, true.
It don't stay. And you might be going in there with, but watch and say, okay, God, this is yours. I'm going to honor this boss. They haven't always treated me well. She hasn't been good to me. He hasn't been good to me. In fact, you maybe have said bad words. Fix those adjectives and get better adjectives. Don't let another human being lower your honor game.
Right. Amen. That's good.
Don't let them do that. You lift it up. Lift it up. Work as though it's for God. Now, we got to move. Third category is the church, okay? Now, this one's tricky because if you question my motives, you'll think I'm trying to get something from you. I'm not trying to get anything from you. I don't need anything from you. I really don't. I absolutely don't. I'm not asking anything from you. Josh Pennington existed before More Life Church existed.
Right.
And I'll exist hopefully as long as this place does. And hopefully this place out-exists me, right? That's the dream. That's the goal. That's the legacy. That's the hope. That we didn't just plant something that was one man and done, okay? That goes beyond that. This is a community of people. It's not a personality. So I need you to understand that. I need you to understand that, okay? Because this gets messy, because then when you talk about honoring governing authority in the church, God has set it up that it just so happens that I occupy the position that God has placed in authority over this house. I do that. I say that humbly. I say it reverently. I often sometimes say hesitantly, God, can somebody else do it? Like, let somebody else have it. I've tried to get out of this several times, and God won't let me. So, like, if you want somebody new, talk to God about it. I don't know what to tell you. I'm trying my best. Watch what he said. Watch. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work, in God's house. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. I'm going to say something because it's not being recorded and live streamed. Because I just feel like it'll do my soul some good. There are people in our church family who are leaders, paid and unpaid, who work really, really, really hard to offer you and the rest of our church godly guidance. I mean real hard. Blood, sweat, and tears. I work really, really, really hard. I would put my level of effort up with any other lead pastor in this community. I'm not saying I'm better than anything like that. I'm telling you right now, there's nobody in this community that occupies the same type of role that I do that works harder than I work. It's just true. I don't say that for sympathy. I don't say that for you to feel a certain way about me. Here's why I say it. Because that is what God has called me to. I don't do it to impress you. I don't do it for us to grow. I don't do it for any other reason except this is what God has asked of me, that I work hard to offer you and whomever God would draw spiritual guidance. That's my offering to him. That's my responsibility to him. I have other options, but can I tell you something? I worked hard when nobody was here.
Amen.
I mean, it was, and I'm not even exaggerating, it was, and Jake is here, my son will tell you, it was probably nearly 10 years in before I had two weekends off combined in an entire year. Don't have sympathy. Have sympathy for them because I lost time with them. I sacrificed time away from them for what I felt was God's plan for my life. And I'm going to be honest with you. If I had to do that over again, I would do some things differently because it was out of balance and it wasn't exactly right. Okay? But I'm saying this, that working hard is what a lot of people do in God's house. And he's saying this, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. He recognizes they work hard among you. I'm recognizing there are people in this house, they work hard to provide you with spiritual guidance. Pastor Daniel works really hard at building teams and leading us into an atmosphere of worship. I watched him for over 10 years grow as a leader, and it brought me the greatest amount of joy ever imaginable when a pastor in town sent me a text and was bragging on our Pastor Daniel and how well he's leading our community in the area of our youth ministry. I sent him a text back and said, he's ours, leave off of him. No, I didn't. You want to know why? Because he's not ours, he's God's. Right. I'm not yours, I'm God's.
That's good.
Right? And so let me go. Quit listening so well. I got to move. It goes on to say this, show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work and live peaceably with each other. I'm going to give you some takeaways on how to honor people and leaders in church. Our attitude toward God is reflected in our attitude toward church leaders. I'm not speaking about anyone here today. I've been at this long enough to where I have experiences that have allowed me to have time and distance between them so that I don't dishonor anyone in particular by bringing them into the equation. But I need to tell you that there have been times where people have had such an attitude toward me, none of you, I'm not saying this about you, I'm talking about in the past, attitudes toward me. And here's what it took me a long time to figure out. They're taking out on me their anger that they have toward God. Because there's something in their world that they don't like that it's there, and someone has to be to blame. Take it out on me. I'm just giving you a window, no sympathy. Just saying that we'll bring to people that in God's house as leaders, our pain, our blame for what didn't go right in their world, as if we caused it. In case anyone needs to know this, and maybe you're a guest here today, and this is, you're coming in like the deep end of the pool. I just need you to know this. No one in leadership at this church has spent a single moment of their time trying to figure out how to make life harder for you. Not a single second. What we've spent hours upon hours upon hours working hard to do is to get God to you in a more full way and help you go on your spiritual journey and point you in the right direction. And what God says is when you give an attitude, this applies to every leader, your attitude toward leadership is a direct reflection on your attitude toward God. He takes it personally, in other words. Let me give you these takeaways. Church leaders, watch this. We dishonor God when we withhold from him. What's the action step? Give God what is due God. Attention, time, resources. I haven't seen anyone do it, and I'm really eternally grateful to each of you. I don't see very many people do this in our church. I have pastors all the time ask me, Josh, do people in your church fall asleep? Like, not usually. Like, how does that happen? Why don't they fall asleep? Not realizing before I said it to one individual, well, I think I say something worth them staying awake for.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Which kind of was a kind of a backhanded slight to them that I didn't mean. And I'm saying that for this reason. I haven't seen anybody do this, but when we withhold from God attention, we dishonor him. I'm going to say this more strongly in the next service, mainly, probably. But young people, you're still in your parents' home. Your parents are talking to you. Put the device down. Give them the honor of your attention. Students, you might be using it to take notes. Cool, I get that. But most of the time, my kids don't take notes during lectures and corrections. That hasn't been my experience. When you're in class, those social leaders, the bosses, whatever, like give them the value of your attention. Give them the honor. Don't treat them as ordinary. Don't treat them like TV in the background. Don't treat your spouse. And we can do that with God. We're in God's house and worship is going, or the word is coming, or we're listening to the message, or whatever, and we're looking at. Like I said, I'm not addressing anything I've seen today. I don't rule that way. I don't real time correct. That's not me. Okay, it's too passive aggressive. If I have a problem with you, I'll talk to you. Right? Like, can we just like be that straightforward with one another? You always know where you stand with me. I'm not gonna like have these feelings hidden in the background. I think that's just a good way to show honor. As a side note, but when we with listen. This breaks down. Here it comes. Here it comes. This breaks down when it comes to money. And I need you to understand this. God does not need our money, but his work on earth does. We as a church, listen, this is not reactionary to anything other than prayerful consideration of what I feel I should be addressing to you and to our church from God's word. We are fine as a church financially. We are as strong as we've ever been, and I'm extremely grateful for every person who partners with us in a financial way. You're truly making a difference. You're truly making a difference. But in God, what happens is this. When the vision begins to expand and more people are being reached, more people need to be drawn in to that circle of help and love that advances the mission and advances the cause and that grows the kingdom. And I need some people, because people are always coming to faith in Christ in our church, like all the time they're coming to faith. What I need you to understand very clearly is this: when we withhold from God in any way, including our finances, it's dishonorable to God. We show value in how we use our money. We say, this is valuable. This car, this house, this thing is valuable. That's great. We ought to do all of those things, right? That's amazing. The point that I'm making is that you show value that way. And when you go through your life as a Christ follower and you regularly withhold from God in whatever area, what you and I are communicating when we do that is this. This is what we're communicating. God is not valuable enough to get this part of me. I don't value him in this way. And I believe that shows dishonor. Let me finish with what I started with. God can change the way you see. Turn to your neighbor real quick and say, God can change this. Go ahead and tell him. Proverbs 3:9 says this, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. He covers every area, every part of our life. Listen, here's my belief from God's word, and I could prove this to you, and I'm finished with this. I could prove this case if I had the time. That God, he has provided to me everything that I possess. My intellect, the very breath in my body, my gifts, my abilities, my resources, everything that I have came from him. Therefore, my view, everything that I have came from him, so everything that I have belongs to him. He's just allowing me to manage it and steward it for him well in his absence. And He says, honor me. Honor me in this. Listen, I did not write Proverbs 3:9. I didn't write it. But as soon as I became aware of it, I can with a clear conscience say, from the time I was young enough to possess anything, God has always been honored first in my life, especially in this area of resources. And I believe beyond any shadow of a doubt, this is the reason and the foundation by which I've built my life on, and Angie's life, we've built our life together on this. And I believe this is the reason why we always have.
Thanks again for joining us today. Now take a second and subscribe to our channel or share this message with someone you think could use it.
And to do,
if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do that by visiting morelifechurch.com/give or through our app.
Take a step in.
Have a blessed day.
It's a way to honor. That's the third and final component today.
Thanks again for joining us today. Now take a second and subscribe to our channel or share this message with someone you think could use it. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do that by visiting morelifechurch.com/give or through our app. Have a blessed day.